And it was one of those sermons that was really good, and we appreciate it so very much, and told Brother Rodney that this morning also. If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Psalms 119, verse 105, and like I say, my intention is not to keep you too long. We have a meeting to go to, a funeral to help plan here in a little while, and so not to let you down or anything, but just to let you know. Our day doesn't end at 3:30 today or 4 o'clock. It's going to go on a little longer as we go and help minister to this family. But it's part of what we do, part of our calling. And I don't want to call it work. It's calling, gifting and calling that God has given us. And it is a job that we do. The Bible's very important. And we talk about it a lot. I know that here in the church, that how important God's Word is. A man named Keith Kraft, and wife and I were privileged about two or three years ago to be in a national function in Bedford, Texas. Is invited by the district exec team to go down with the bishop and the secretary and to go down and be a part of a meeting. They was trying to groom me for presbyter or something at the time, and Then they didn't put me in there. But anyway, that's another story, and it's immaterial. They took me down to a national board meeting. Well, part of the national board meeting, they get to have these special guys come in and speak to them. You know, these renowned speakers, and then they give books away and free meals, and think, man, I'd like to do this. Get free stuff. And but anyway, Keith Kraft's the man's name, and he pastors a church in Frisco, Texas, and he's a I'd never heard of him before, but yet he's a motivational speaker as well as a pastor, and he wrote a book, and he's probably wrote more than one, but this particular book is Leadershipology 101, and it's quotes to live by. And this is one of his quotes about the Bible, and he says this: if you will hear the word and do the word, you'll find that you will have a word when you need it the most. Did you hear that? If you will hear the word and do the word, you'll find that you will have a word when you need a word the most. And that is true. And so I thought that was cool when I read that the other day. I thought, man, I'm going to share that with the church. That's so true. And why don't we have a word sometime? Because we don't hear the word. We don't do the word. We don't read the word. We just do our thing. And then when we get in trouble, we say, somebody, come help me. God, help me. Well, God's already give you help. Just give you strength. Not to say you don't need more help. You don't need more strength. And there's certain times in our lives, special times in our lives, that we need something more. But yet God's already give you the more. What if you couldn't get to a church? What if you didn't have a, couldn't get to your pastor? What if the phone, you need more, and God's already gave it. If we're in His Word. And so it's important. So here's what David said in Psalms 119, verse 105. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my, wait a minute. Yeah, I'll get back to that. 105 is, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he goes on to say, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. He says, your word is a lamp. Have you ever prayed that sometime and thanked the Lord? Lord, I'm glad that your word is a lamp unto my path, or unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Your word leads me. Your word guides me. And people's always looking for spirit guides and this guide and this help and that help, when God's give us all the help we need. It's right in His word. Thy word, it'll guide every portion of your life. It'll direct you ever in the right direction every single time. God never, ever leads you astray. If you go through something, it's not because God led you that way for your destruction. He led you that way for your benefit, to build you up, to strengthen you, to show you something, to help you be a help to others. We all go through things. We think, well, where's God at in this? Well, just keep watching, keep looking, keep worrying, keep praying. Don't worry, keep praying. God's going to show you why you went that direction. But His word will always guide you. Always guide you. He'll give you a word right when you need it. Psalms 119, verse 11, Psalmist David said, verse 11. I was looking at 111. That ain't the same thing as I got here. He said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is, there again, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word is given so that we won't sin against him. Why is there so much sin in the church? Answer me that question. Why is there so much sin in the church? Because we're not reading the word. We're not hearing the word. It's preached. And you probably ought to read it aloud to yourself, but you should hear the word. Hear the word, preach it, sing it, read it to yourself. Then you do the word, then you'll have a word when you need it. And so when you're tempted to sin, you'll have a word. Amen. The word of God will rise up in you. The Spirit of the Lord will bring it to your mind. This is what God says about that. And I'll tell you this, if you say, well, I'm not sure God's word says anything about that, I guarantee you if it's sin, the Holy Spirit will still tell you. Whether it is written or not, the Holy Spirit will say, that's not according to God's word. Come on now. He'll do it. So we need to understand and pay attention to that. What does God say about him? And so Psalms 105, verse 119, 105, 106, I already read. First 112 here, and it says, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. What did he say? I've made up my mind that whatever your word says, I will obey it to the end. I'm going to follow your word, Lord. He's understood the Psalm David. David understood, I believe that's who wrote this one. I know it is. But the writer of this Psalm, well, no, it's not necessarily David. But the writer of this Psalm knew that if he would follow God's word, God would never let him down. God would always direct his path. God would always light up, illuminate his path, and he would always go the right direction. And he says, so I've made up my mind. I've inclined my heart. I've made up my mind in my heart. It's settled. It's forever settled. I'm going to follow your word. Statutes there, simply, I'm going to follow your word. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it seems to, you know, this old flesh is getting dug out, and sometimes the flesh, y'all don't have flesh problems, do you? None of you. None of y'all have flesh problems, do you? Your flesh never tries to get you to do anything against the Word of God, does it? Well, I think it's, the Bible, Paul said there's two things going on. The things that I should do, I don't do, and the things I want to do, I don't do, the things I don't, shouldn't want, how's he go that? Basically, I do what I don't want to do. Because my flesh wants to do one thing and my spirit says, no, you got to go this direction. So Paul says, I crucify my flesh and the affections of lust of my flesh. I do that so I can please God. I do that because I'm a minister of God. I do that because I'm a child of God. I'm a saint of God and I'm following God. So I crucify my flesh and I bring it into alignment with God's word. And so then we live right, do right, speak right, temper our speech. Love right. We do all the different things correctly when we're following God's word. Now, that doesn't mean you'll never make mistakes. Doesn't mean you never get out of line. Doesn't mean you won't fall. But it means you're going to do your best within your heart to follow God's word. Because we're all human, so we fall once in a while. Somebody said this about temptations or giving in to temptations. How did it go? It's something making mistakes. It said this. If you continue to make the same mistakes, it's no longer a mistake. It's not a habit. It's a desire. It's a choice. You say, well, I made a mistake. You keep making the same mistakes. It's not a mistake. It's a choice. You did it on purpose. So you, on purpose, disobeyed God, and then tried to excuse it with, well, I made a mistake. If you make the same one over and over again, you're either pretty silly, and I'm saying that nicely, Come on now. You didn't make a mistake. You made a choice. After the second and third time doing that same sin, that's no longer a mistake. You didn't fall into that. You made a choice to jump in. Why is that? Because you're not hiding God's word in your heart, so you won't sin against him. I've never one time since I've been a Christian ever stepped outside of God's word that he didn't correct me prior to committing the wrong. Did you hear what I said? He always convicts you of the wrong prior to you doing the wrong. When your flesh is beginning to lead you astray and against God's word, God will always direct your path back to the straight and the narrow. So if you go any further than that as a Christian, there again, it's not just one or two mistakes. Even that first time, if the Holy Spirit's telling you no and you do it, you made a choice. I'm glad there's forgiveness and grace, aren't you? But we need to stay in God's word. Amen? Stay in God's word. Then Psalms 119 verses 1 through 8. I want to go there, if I may, for just a few minutes. And this is all, of course, this whole chapter kind of ties back to God's word and doing what God says and cleaving unto his, being quickened by his word, and we should delight in his statutes and not forget his word and all these different things. So I'm going to go through these with you just briefly here. Psalms 119, starting verse 1, and we'll go just a little ways with this. But he said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who are the undefiled. How do you become undefiled? There again, you hide his word in your heart. You are led by the word of God. His word is in you've hid his word in your heart. And so then when you go out doing your daily routine and all the things that you do, you stay undefiled because the law of the Lord here is what? The word of the Lord. Here they're dealing with not all the things we have. We have a lot of statutes in the New Testament, but we have a lot of grace. They were dealing with the Old Testament, thou shalt nots, all the ten thou shalt nots, and all the little things that go along with that. And he's still saying, if I can stay and walk in this, I'm a blessed person. And they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have him to help lead and guide them. Aren't you glad that we have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost today to lead and guide and direct our paths and to help illuminate the word to our hearts and our minds? And so we have that. They didn't have that. But he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. He said, blessed are they who keep his testimonies. Then again, what are we still talking about? The things that God gives us to live by. Blessed are they that keep God's word. They're the blessed people. People don't keep God's word. They're not blessed like we're blessed. They may have some notion of blessings. They may have some good things happen to them in their life, but they're not blessed in that sense that we are. Because see, I can go through a storm and still be blessed. I can have lack and still be blessed because I'm walking in the way of the Lord and I'm obeying his testimonies and the statutes of his word. So I am blessed because I have more than just this life to look forward to. The Bible teaches us very plainly in this life, Paul said, in this life only I had hope, I would be a miserable, I'd be all men most miserable, what the King James says. He said, I'd be a miserable puppy. If this is all I had to look forward to, it wouldn't be worth living. But it's not all we have to look forward to, and especially if we're following God's word and we seek him, that goes on, verse 2 says, and seek him with our whole heart. Wow. God doesn't leave anything to chance. He teaches us very plainly, you must seek him with all your heart. Can't serve him halfway, all the way, or no way. I know a lot of us serve him in a lot of different ways, but we got to serve him all the way and grow up in him. And it says, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. See, this law talked about talked about how he promises to pour out his blessing on those who choose to live by his standards and his directives. And we'll have his personal presence. He'll give us strength and help and everything we need. We're blessed in that way. So he gives us his presence, his help. And he takes care of our needs. And so God takes care of us. And then his law is the Torah, representing his entire instruction to the whole world, to all of his people. And so we have that today. His testimonies represent the covenant stipulations or requirements. There's a lot of things God requires of his people. But we see over in the New Testament, what does God require of thee? To do good. I mean, just follow his word. Do good. It goes on a little further than that, but I don't have it off the top of my head right now. But that's what he requires of you. Do good. Follow his word. And I guarantee it'll work out. It always does. And then he goes on his ways. He says they also do no iniquity, or they don't sin. They walk in his ways. These are the principles and means of operation by which God relates to his people and advances redemption on the work on the earth. Where we're walking and living for him, we are being lights that shine to a dark world. And we are showing people without Christ how to live for Christ, and we're showing those who are weak in Christ or new or babes in Christ how to live for God, and we're showing them God's precepts, God's testimonies, God's ways, and showing them how to live for him. You have responsibility in that part. If you don't show anybody else how to live for God, show your family. You have responsibility there. If nowhere else, show your family how to live for God. That don't mean they'll always live for God, but show them how. Then when they get old enough, they make their own choice. I always went by this when my kids were at home, still do, I like that scripture where Joshua, when he's trying to get the children of Israel over the promised land, and, you know, choose today whom you're going to serve. I think it's towards the end of the deal, and he says, choose today whom you will serve. Either God on the other side or the God of this land who you dwell, the Amorites. He said, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's always been my thought, and especially when my kids were at home. You're going to church. We're going to do our best to show you how to live for God. We're going to do what we can to get you there. And we're going to live an example in front of you the best we can, because we want you to know how to live and follow God's word. It wasn't without mistakes. It wasn't without trial. It wasn't without trial and error. But we kept trying, kept leading, kept showing. And I have 3 kids in church today. I got 6 grandchildren in church today. And I'm thankful for that. I'm blessed, Sister Penny. I believe you've got the same blessing in your life. You got 3 boys and all their family are in church. Isn't that a blessing? Sister Carol, I believe all of her kids are in church. Possibly. I think one up in Alaska is, but I guess 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 7 is not too bad. No, but you understand, we live for God, we live consistent lives, that when they get older, they have to make their own choices, but you got to make up your mind and determine, I'm going to live for God. Amen. Follow his word. And then his precepts, that's involves detailed instruction from the Lord. They said, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. These detailed instructions from God. And they're in his word. But in the New Testament church, we also have the Holy Spirit who will illuminate things to our minds and show us God's way and lead us the correct way. Now, you need to be able to distinguish what spirit it is. But I don't think the devil's going to lead you the way of God if he can get it. He may give you a snippet of it and try to lure you away just like he did Jesus. Can you imagine how foolish he was? He must have felt when he was up on that taking Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple and taking him here and taking him there and saying, this is what the word says. And Jesus said, yeah, it says that, but this is what it means. You know, throw yourself out. I give angels charge of you. Yeah, it says that. It says you had not tempt the Lord thy God either. You know what? So what's that precept to us? It would be this. You shall drink no poison. If you drink anything poison, it shall not harm you. That's what the New Testament says, and if you drink anything poison, it shall not harm you. So what would you say to that? Some devil say, well, the Bible says you can drink poison, it won't harm you. Okay, devil, give it to me. You'll die because you tempted God. When you should have said, devil, don't tempt the Lord. You don't understand what I'm saying? Now, if you accidentally did it, probably not going to hurt you. But if you did it on purpose, without first inquiring of God, you might get yourself in trouble. We may have to preach your funeral. And you know what they'll say? This poor soul committed suicide. Because we won't have the devil there saying, I tempted them to do it. They were trying to prove God. I got them. You understand the difference? So we follow God's ways the way God teaches us to follow them. Come on, you guys. So that's, they're directed by his statutes. And he says, what's he say in verse 6? Then shall I not be ashamed? Then I won't be ashamed. None of us have to be ashamed of God's word. We don't have to be ashamed of what we do for God. The world will put shame on you. The devil will put shame on you. They'll try to make you think you're just way out there, that you're irrelevant, that the word of God doesn't matter anymore, and we can just do what we want to do when we want to do it and go our own way, and God's still going to bless you for it. No way! God's word is still relevant. It's still real today. And Jesus still saves. Said, I will praise you up with uprightness of heart. I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. You see, God's going to judge us one day. The Bible teaches us that he'll judge the quick and the dead, the alive and the dead at his coming. Jesus, we will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ one day as Christians. You don't want to stand at that other one. That's the one where some of these guys are going to stand up and they're going to say, look, Lord, this is what I did for my country. And he's going to say, I don't know who you are. Depart, you worker of iniquity. And they may be righteous people, but yet they didn't do right. In other words, they tried, they pretended they were living right, but they weren't right. But we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we'll receive our rewards. And somebody told me the other day, I did something. They said, oh, you're going to get a reward from Jesus. I said, yeah, and you know what the Bible says? I got to cast it at his feet. He's going to get another, got your crown. You're going to get your crown for doing this. I said, yeah, then I got to cast the crown at his feet. They're going to do me no good. I won't even get to wear it. It don't matter. I want to be before the judgment seat of Christ, and I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen? Don't you? But I'll give you pause to think, am I doing enough for God? Am I following his word with my whole heart? Am I living with him, living for him with all that's in me? Or am I just doing enough to get by? Follow his word. Live his word. Do what he says, do. You see, God's word, verse 9 says, withal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. His revelation in general and his commandments and promises. His word will cleanse you. His word will change you completely if you'll just allow it to. And if you'll resist the immoral influences in this word, in this world, his word will be there for you. We are in an ungodly environment. You all know that. So we certainly need God's word and God's help in our lives to succeed. We need it. Not a one of us here that doesn't have some ungodly influence in our life at some time or another. We must learn to resist all evil. And we do that by getting in God's word and seeking God in prayer, even by committing his word to our memory, taking an open stand for God's truth, and delighting in what God says. Amen. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm glad for that today, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Well, would you stand with me?